Good morning, everybody. I'd like to read to you some verses from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. We're, as I say, nearing the end of our time in prayer. We will not stop praying, but this year we have been thinking about prayer. And I wonder how your prayers developed so far over this year. We've listened to talks and we've given suggestions. We've looked at Bible passages. But actually, the rest is down to us as individuals. And one of the reasons that when we meet for church, it's a bit more interactive, is it's easy to become passive consumers, to sit and to listen and to think that we've done our bit for the week. We've had our top up of spirituality. But it's the same with prayer. For all of our words and podcasts and sermons, our prayers are not going to deepen unless we actually pray. It's down to us. There was an article that I shared with you earlier in the year, written by Simon Matterley, actually, who is leading the Crucible course. So just a little advert for that, because it might be coming to Light of Life next year. But Marie, Heather, Mark Goth, Hannah Farman, Kevin and myself have been doing the Crucible course. So if you're interested in finding out more, do speak to any of us. But Simon, who's leading the course, wrote this article about people in church and prayer and their suggestions, but it really came down to one little girl, and she said, just pray more, just pray more. So just pray more. Try something new to expand how you pray. Maybe pray out loud with another person, or prayer walk, or sit in silence, or light a candle. And if that's got fragrance, we were thinking about fragrance, well, great. Maybe try kneeling, or alter the time that you pray. Say grace, or make a list, or use the Psalms, or pray with a newspaper. There are so many different things that we can do to pray. But as well as trying something new, the other suggestion is to lean in to what you are already doing. Keep it going. Go deeper. I'd like to read some verses to you from Mark chapter 10. This is a story that you'll know well, the story of blind Bartimaeus. This is verse 46 of chapter 10 in Mark. Then Jesus came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the man, the blind man. Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This man, Bartimaeus, didn't put on his Sunday best, light a candle and ask Jesus politely if it was at all possible to help him. Thank you very much. He embarrassed his friends because he wouldn't pipe down. He didn't use long, eloquent sentences to get Jesus' attention. Unlike the contrasting story of the rich young ruler earlier in Mark. And I won't go into that today, but I suspect the two stories are together for deliberate contrast. One man who seemingly had everything, status and wealth, and went away sad. And in contrast, our beggar Bartimaeus, who has nothing, not even his sight, But he went away, not only with his dignity and sight restored, but a new purpose in following Jesus. Did you notice that the one thing Bartimaeus probably did own, his cloak, he threw aside in his haste to get to Jesus? Now, a cloak in that culture was the one thing you couldn't take away from another. Even if you were in jail, you got to keep your cloak. And it was probably Bartimaeus' livelihood as well, particularly because he was blind. Beggars would hold out his cloak for people to throw money into. The cloak is everything to Bartimaeus, yet he leaves it behind because Jesus calls him. I guess what is a cloak when the Son of God is calling you? Bartimaeus calls to Jesus and then Jesus calls to him. I'm not going to open that can of worms of predestination today, but I think that's interesting. Are we listening for Jesus' call to us? Bartimaeus had nothing, but now the Son of God is asking him, "What do you want?" He's become the richest man in the world. And I think healings, when we read of them, physical healings in the Bible, often have a purpose. If you've been watching the series The Chosen at all, you will see how some of those healings come about and how they actually have a purpose. But I wonder here if the purpose of this physical healing is not so much the physical healing, but it was a sign of the inner healing that this man experienced. A man who was willing to cry out to Jesus in faith. God's riches are ours. We are co-heirs with Christ. I'm not talking about monetary wealth, but God's riches. They are so much more. And I wonder, are we free enough? Not weighed down like the rich young ruler, but like Bartimaeus, the blind beggar. Free to ask, not politely inquiring, but yearning for God's Spirit, like we thought about in the reading from Psalms. God doesn't care about our composure, He cares about our hearts. I think sometimes Western Christianity has sanitized following Jesus, but we mustn't let our sophistication or our pride or respectability hamper our walk with Jesus. I don't imagine Bartimaeus suddenly became quiet as he followed either. And did you notice that? He followed Jesus. He carried on following Jesus. That's not really a surprise, is it? I suspect he carried on telling people, sharing his story, telling others how Jesus restored him to whoever he met. Maybe people who didn't even want to listen, he told as well. He continued to follow, to learn, to grow and become more of who God created him to be. So I just want to leave you with these thoughts. Do we cry out in pure abandonment to God? Do we leave our baggage behind, those things that hold us back, that might be our propriety, that might be our possessions? God loves to give, but he really loves it when we come and ask him first. What do you want to ask Jesus for? Why not have a conversation with him now? And finally, do we share the story of God restoring us with others? Let's pray together. Lord God, we cry out to you for forgiveness, for healing, for courage, for comfort, for strength, for new vision. Lord, we come holding nothing. We are nothing without you. May your Spirit fill us, challenge us, change us, heal us, we pray. For your glory. Amen.